It's time for CBB 365 with your hosts, Adam Hipsky and Patrick Dallahan.
Okay, and emergency recording of CBB 365. This is due to some pretty big news in college basketball. Arguably the biggest we've had all offseason, right up there with Roy Williams retiring, and that is pretty much a cross-state rival, and that's Mike Krzyzewski, and he will retire. He announced today that he will retire following the 2021-2022 season. Mike Krzyzewski getting up there in age, 74 years old. He's been coaching Duke for the past 40 years. This will be his 41st season at Duke, and after that, he will hang up the suit and tie and go into retirement. So pretty big news. Obviously, Coach K has been, you know, a huge, not just hope, but just a huge name, a huge face in college basketball. He's won 5 national titles, made it to 12 Final Fours. He's won 15 ACC tournament titles, as well as 12 ACC regular season titles. So obviously Coach K has been in the game for a very long time. He's been very successful in the game. He will be missed within college basketball. He was inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2006. His achievements go on and on. And, you know, there's not really, you know, we could make an entire episode of everything that Coach K's won, you know, where he ranks among the greatest college basketball coaches ever. And, you know, he very well could be right there at the top of the list. But Coach K will retire following the 2021-2022 season. Any takeaway from you two regarding this announcement today?
It's crazy to see that, because you say he's been such a fixture in college basketball. And he has been. I mean, he's been the head coach at Duke University since 1980. Like that alone should say it all. And he's not even the longest tenured head coach like at one school right now, right? I feel like I think Jim Boeheim has been at Syracuse for longer, right, Klein? Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
But even then, like, it's insane that he's been at Duke for such a long time. And he transformed that program. They were not good when he first got there. They were pretty terrible. And he turned it into one of, if not the best programs in the country. So it's crazy to see how he did that. But I mean, you know, every dog has its day, right? I mean, you gotta know when to fold them. So, I mean, he figured that it was time to go, and he cashed out on his opportunity to go.
Find anything to add?
I mean, the first thing I thought of is that if 2 years ago I told you to rank Boeheim, Roy Williams, and Coach K in order of when they were going to retire, I don't think any of us would have said Boeheim was going to last the longest, which I just think is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
he still could retire after
this season. True. And he might. I mean, my takeaway from it and from Roy Williams going and from Lon Kruger going is that these older coaches, they're just not built for the way college basketball is right now. And I think Roy Williams was very open about that. He basically said, I'm not the right guy for this job anymore, and passed it off to Hubert Davis, who is a lot younger, a lot more in tune. And a similar thing with Coach K here, who has passed it off now after this year. He's going to pass it off to John Shire, who's a lot more young, a lot more in tune. And the way the transfer portal works and NIL is going to come in, and that's going to play a role. And the Boeheims and the Patinos and the Coach K and the Roy Williams and the Lon Kruger, those guys are just going to be phased out, because Roy Williams is right. They're just not equipped and not knowledgeable enough to handle the way college basketball and college athletics are now.
And you mentioned it right there, but we hadn't said anything about it yet. But John Shire, Duke, the announcement came out that it sounds like John Shire will be Coach K's successor at Duke, an assistant coach for them right now. He's been their lead recruiter for the last since he's taken over at Duke. Obviously, Jeff Capel also was a big Duke assistant.
But Shire has done a pretty good job in the recruiting department.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll be the next assistant to get a call moving into the head coaching ranks. So John Shire played at Duke from 2006 through 2010 under Coach K, then went undrafted, bumped around overseas in the G League, and then took a job with under Coach K as an assistant coach, and he's been at Duke ever since. So now John Shire will take over. He's only 33 years old, and we've seen what he can do in the recruiting landscape. I mean, he's pretty much brought in a majority of Duke's talent over the last couple of years, and you add that into what's becoming a very big deal in college basketball right now, and that's the transfer portal. You put John Shire in the transfer portal, and I think you can get Duke back to not that Coach K ever made Duke not a contender. I mean, Duke's always a contender and Duke's always in it, but this year, but
yeah, not for this year. And also they technically didn't make it in 2020 because they withdrew before the tournament was canceled.
And but John Shire, I think this was probably a right move. Another report came out today that two guys at Duke was considering, not named John Shire, was Tommy Amaker and Johnny Dawkins. So two kind of interesting names there. Tommy Amaker, the head coach of Harvard right now, and Johnny Dawkins, the head coach of UCF. But Duke decides to promote from within. Thoughts on this hire, promoting John Shire from within? And we'll talk to Klein first and hear from him first on this one.
I mean, I think it's clear that Coach K had a lot of impact on who was going to be the guy who replaced him, because you have John Shire from his bench. You had Tommy Amaker, comes from the Coach K coaching tree. He's a Duke guy. And then Johnny Dawkins played at Duke and coached at Duke as well. So, I mean, Coach K had his hands all over, I think, who was going to be the one to replace him, and rightfully so. He's been the coach for 42 years or whatever it is. But, I mean, my biggest takeaway from John Shire coming in to be the next Duke coach is that this very well might be the next Coach K. Not because, you know, he's especially great as a coach, but just because age-wise, I mean, he's right around the age Coach K was when he started at Duke. And he went 42 straight years as the coach. Are we going to go right into the next, 42 straight years as the coach of Duke? So it's been unprecedented consistency from Duke, and I wouldn't be surprised if that continues from here on out. I am a little nervous, though. I'm not a Duke guy, obviously, but if I was a Duke guy, I'd be a little nervous. I mean, you look at the coaches that have come from the Coach K coaching tree that have gone elsewhere and become head coaches on their own. Jeff Capel, not too great, right? Situation that he has right now at Pitt. Wojciechowski, who just got fired from Marquette. Chris Collins at Northwestern. Those are the three names that have most recently come from Coach K's coaching tree, and they have collectively struggled a fair amount as independent head coaches. So it'll be interesting to see if staying at Duke and being in a familiar place, in a familiar system, is enough to help John Shire avoid the same fate as Capel and Collins and Wojo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a school like Duke or like UNC, their head coach is going to have a big influence on who they hire and their administration too. And Coach K, this situation probably had, I'd say, 90% of the say, right? I think that his what he said goes. And I think that him obviously choosing Shire was, I think, a good move because he's done so well on the recruiting front, which is the utmost important thing to getting a good roster together in college basketball, whether it's the transfer portal or high school players. Shire did it and did it well. So that's obviously something that's very important for as far as building a team goes. But at the same time, you know, I'm also, like his client said, the Coach K coaching tree hasn't had too much success in their individual head coaches. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. Like, they've had some players go on to be okay coaches. I mean, like, not great coaches. I mean, Bobby Hurley's been, okay. I mean, he hasn't been anything, like, amazing. He's been a good recruiter, but he hasn't been a great coach. He did nothing with the roster yet this year.
Yeah, John Shire, I would assume, you know, we can check this, but I assume John Shire would immediately go and be one of the youngest coaches in college basketball at 33. 33 years old.
So. That's got to be the youngest head coach.
Drew Valentine, who just replaced Porter Moser, I believe, is 29.
Yeah, forgot about that.
When you guys were talking about before, when I'm like that, the game is passing coaches by and programs by. You know who's? I don't want to be like, hey, I told you so. I've been saying this for a while. I feel like I tweeted it back in March that there are new bloods and that Duke and Kentucky and UNC are out, and Baylor, Michigan, and Gonzaga are in.
I don't know if the, I don't know if they're so to speak out. I mean, give John Shire a chance because you say Duke and UNC are out, but now both those teams have two new coaches. Kentucky had one 4-year this past season. You know, John Shire, maybe that he hits a transfer portal. He'll obviously, he has a good name, good connections on the recruiting trail. I don't think that they're going to skip a meet in their talent intake. It's just what John Shire can do with them once they arrive in Durham and what kind of product he puts out on the floor. We'll see if it's kind of a different brand of basketball than what Coach K. I don't expect much different just because – obviously pretty much all of John Shire's life since he was 18 years old has been wrapped up with Coach K. You know, I mean, he had some short stints overseas. Maybe he'll take a little bit from over there, over in Israel. But other than that, I mean, he's spent ever since 2006, he's spent about 10 years of his. So about a third of his life has been spent around Coach K and in the Duke program. So I expect them to play a pretty similar brand than what Coach K's had all along. So John Shire, now the new head coach of Duke. So I'll ask you this question in terms of, obviously, both of these coaches have their connections to their schools. We talk about Hubert Davis. We talk about John Shire. And I think that the two are different in different ways. You know, Hubert Davis has been around the block a little bit longer.
Yeah.
51 years old, obviously has been at North Carolina for the past nine, 10 years. And he's had a much longer playing career. He's been around the game for almost 20 years longer. Taking away the connections from the school, which coach would you rather have? Would you rather have a Hubert Davis that has more experience with the game, who's been in the league, who has his connection to the NBA, and then has been an assistant for the past 10 years, and maybe may not be as good of a recruiter? Would you rather take the young gun, 33-year-old, never proven himself, that can run a college basketball program, hasn't been in an NBA locker room, you know, all he's done is bumped around the G League? Would you rather take a 33-year-old hot recruiter, or would you rather take an older, more experienced Hubert Davis, taking away the connections from the school? Obviously, it wouldn't make sense for Duke to hire Hubert Davis and vice versa, John Shire. But taking that away, what coach would you rather have?
I think I'd rather have Hubert Davis. Purely because he has that experience. He coached under Roy Williams, who's one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport, both professional and college. He's got that experience. He learned under him. He spent time around both levels of the game, a lot of time. He played in the NBA, something that Shire can't say. But as far as a basketball standpoint goes, I do feel like that Hubert Davis is the choice. And that's not a slight on Shire in any means. I'm a big fan of the way that Duke would win championships. Like, you look at the 2015 team, which was loaded with 5 stars and 4 stars, you know, like Justice Winslow, Jahlil Okafor, you know, Tyus Jones. Even in 2019, we saw it. Like, that team that went to the Elite Eight, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson, and RJ Barrett, all three were the top three of the ESPN 100 and the 247 100 in the top three, every single one of them. So, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, really.
Yeah, and I think both these hires make sense given the connections to their schools. And you talk about what John Shire's done at Duke and what Hubert Davis has done at North Carolina. But, you know, I think that both of them may pay off in different ways. And I think a lot of it depends on the staff John Shire will have behind him and the staff that Hubert Davis will have behind him. You know, I mean, both of those guys are going to need tremendous help, especially John Shire, who his time around not only a college basketball program, but just around, you know, any program as the lead guy is limited. And so is Hubert Davis. I mean, Hubert Davis never been head coach either, but just something to keep an eye on there. So I think that wraps up the Coach K, John Shire talk. Once again, this doesn't even go into effect until after the 2021-2022 season. So Coach K and the Blue Devils will go on their quest for number 6 to send Coach Krzyzewski out on top, and then he will hang it up after then. Okay, moving on from that, some other news in the college basketball landscape. Nothing really too important, just some transfer news, some some NBA declarations. But we'll start off with Amani Bates, the number one recruit in the 2022 class, who had committed to Michigan State. Everyone kind of saw this coming. It seemed a little predictable, but Amani Bates announced that he has decommitted from Michigan State. He's keeping his options open, although I think everyone fully expects him to head pro, whether that's G League or whether that's the NBA right after high school.
I do think that he'll go through pro, but if he does go to college, I think he's going to go to Texas.
Yeah. I mean, possibility. I don't see the college route happening. I think that if he was going to go to college, I think he would have been Michigan State all the way, just given his roots.
If the NBA doesn't allow the college right after high school. I mean, at college right after high school, NBA right after high school. Do you think he'll go to like the NBL?
Nah, I think he'll be G League. I just think G League is going to be the route the entire way. I think he's going to do the.
You were on that when he committed to Michigan State.
Yeah, I think that. I think it's just
which was one of our first episodes.
Was. Okay.
The 2020 Gatorade High School Player of the Year, Amani Bates. He obviously is on the record saying that he models his game after Kevin Durant and looks up to him as a player. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, go the same path as he did and go to Texas for a year, just dominate college basketball and then go to the NBA and dominate that.
Yeah. So some NBA declarations. Jared Butler announced that he will declare for the NBA draft, something that we kind of expected. Jared Butler was awesome this year for Baylor, obviously national champion. So he's in the NBA draft. Another guy that's going to test the waters, Hunter Dickinson, which I don't think he'll end up going. I think that he will eventually return back to school. Kofi Cockburn is
Coburn.
Coburn. Another news, Kofi Coburn to the draft. He will not return to Illinois. So Illinois is kind of in a bad spot next year. They lose Io DeSumo. They lose Coburn. Lose Adam Miller. So they've got – and they lose Georgie Bishanishvili.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't they lose Georgie?
Yeah, so they have Curbelo returning, Damonte Williams returning. I always like when guys like Damonte Williams, we also saw with Taz Sherman this week, guys that like we really knew had no chance of going pro, just put out a, you know, like I'm back or, you know, I'm not going anywhere, you know, like kind of expected that. So Damonte Williams made sure everyone knew. Gave Illinois some good news, I guess.
It's like when a kid commits to like a D2 school and he's like, please respect my decision.
So Kofi Coburn to the draft. He will not return to Champaign. A little bit of transfer news. Ty Washington is going to head to Kentucky this year. Maybe get that Kentucky program back on track after missing the NCAA tournament this year.
An abysmal season.
Yeah, something we haven't seen in a while from Kentucky. To wrap things up in the show, we'll talk about another school in Kentucky, and that's Gaudia. Who was an assistant coach for Louisville. They were him and Chris Mack. We'll start this off with him and Chris Mack were assistant coaches at Wake Forest from 2001 to 2004 before Chris Mack left to take the job at Xavier. Anyways, life goes on. Rick Pitino leaves. Louisville hires Chris Mack after Gaudia was the assistant at Louisville. And then this past a couple months ago, Dino's contract was not renewed by Chris Mack after Mack kind of hinted that he wanted a little shake up. So Gaudia just doesn't get his contract renewed. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen a ton of this. I know that I believe that Dino tried to snitch on Louisville. I'm sure. Have you looked at this more in depth, Patrick?
Have a little bit. So when they were trying to fire him or not resign him or whatever the case was, it was extortion. That's illegal. He was basically trying to blackmail them. He said that if they didn't retain him, he was going to go to the public and he was going to let everybody know about all the things that Louisville did. He's going to alert the FBI. He's going to alert the NCAA. Basically just something that you just can't have happen. Although it just would have confirmed what public already knew. Like we saw our friend Mike Rutherford say like, wow, that's a shocker. Louisville cheated. Like everybody knew what was happening. So it's not like a big, huge shocker, but to see someone do that is pretty shocking. Try and use it against the program itself. I don't feel like you see that very often.
Yeah, so pretty much after Dino was announced that his contract would not be renewed, he just threatened to inform the NCAA of some possible NCAA violations against the men's basketball program. And then now it looks like Dino may be in some trouble. So that is a little bit of college basketball news to wrap up our emergency recording.
It's our first episode in a long, long time.
Yeah, no, it has been. We're going to get back.
Yeah, we're going to be back. We're going to be back with more frequent episodes soon.
Yeah, no, we've just had a little bit of a going the past couple weeks. So, yeah, that'll do it. For this Coach K emergency recording of CBB 365, for our producer Jake Klein, I'm Adam Hipsky, and with my co-host Patrick Downham, this has been CBB 365.